Today, I have the pleasure and opportunity to have yet another amazing woman as a guest on the show today, who's going to share parts of her story with us. So let me just say hello to Elizabeth. Hey, Elizabeth, how are you today? Great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Pam. I am so happy to be here. I'm humbled and I'm honored. I am actually doing well for the second day of the week, so it's good.
good. Well, to get us started on this story about women who stutter, can you formally introduce yourself to us, who you are, where you're from, what keeps you busy?
Absolutely. So, hello. My name is Elizabeth Escobar. I live in Germantown, Maryland. And what keeps me busy is a lot of stuff. So, one, my kids. Usually they're at school during this time, but how I use up some of the time when they're not here is I take care of my mom. And I usually just help her around the house. I have her on a eating schedule. And usually if it's nice outside, I will take her outside for a walk. But that's like, since we're in like winter, that's actually rare. But I don't have a job, but that's because I chose to leave my job last year because I wanted to go back to school. And as a matter of fact, I start school this coming Monday, so I'll be busy again. But this whole time that I've been out of school, I've just been kind of focusing on myself. I've been trying to find internships or anything that I can get my hands on over the summer. And I've been doing mock interviews at my school. So I've been trying to stay as mentally active as I can. So yeah.
Oh, wow. That sounds like you got a lot going on. What are you studying in school?
Sure. So I'm studying international studies with a minor in information tech with information technology.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what appeals to you about that? I mean, they're both kind of like a little bit different. So what appeals to you and what do you hope to do with that?
Well, when I first was trying to decide what I wanted to study when I got to college, I wasn't sure. However, I did know that I do like advocacy work. I like to understand about the government, the socioeconomic of like other nations, and how they run their policies and their foreign policies. And so I chose international studies because that's sort of a how would you say that's where it falls under anything that's international, domestic, geopolitics. And one of the reasons why I chose international studies here at the school that I'm at is because I got to learn a new foreign language. And since I already know Spanish, I said, how about I choose something that's really new and very challenging? So I chose Arabic.
Wow.
Arabia. Arabic. So this will be my last year that I'm in Arabic, and it's been an exciting ride. I'm not completely fluent yet, but I know enough to get me by if I ever go to any Arabic speaking country. And the other minor of information technology is because when you really think about it, technology needs policy making, and policy making also needs new forms of technology to advance the world. For instance, this past semester, I wrote a research paper on bauxite, which is just another form of aluminum, which is a rock that is found only in like the hot areas of the world, like the tropical areas. And so I chose the topic of like bauxite semiconductors and the Western African country of Guinea. And all that is kind of in between human rights, international affairs, and technology. So all that is kind of is sort of meshed in. And to understand how things work, I like to understand how they're made and where they come from. So anything that you see inside of for instance, our laptops, some of them come from Taiwan, but you also have to understand that there's a international aspect in that realm. So that's why I chose these two, because I like to understand how things work, and I also like to maybe help understand how the policies are made, if there's any type of sanctions or laws, or how these types of policies affect the villages and just the economy in general. So yeah.
Wow.
I'm sorry, that was a lot.
You must have like one of those brilliant.
That was my job interview right there.
it was great, and it's leaving me like, you know, asking questions like, what do you have to do with this when you're done? Like, what's your dream job?
To be honest, I have a lot of jobs that I would love to work in, but since I'm a mom, I can't do things that I really want to do. So I think I'm gonna stay domestically and just work for hopefully either like the government, be like a foreign affairs analyst, or be a international affairs analyst, or maybe work for a non-for-profit or organization helping underserved towns, cities, anything where I can get my hands on, where I can do some like advocacy work. And in terms of the IT space, I'm new to the IT space, so I don't know as much as I would like to, but I'm a fast, quick learner. I'm hoping that I can mix the two, help maybe form an app, understand how to make an app, and maybe go from there and teach others who are in underserved communities how to use this IT space. Because IT is also, it's more male dominated than it is women. So I want to give the tools that youngsters that live in underserved areas the opportunity, but I don't know how I would do that yet, but it'll get there.
Yeah, wow. Like, you're really inspiring, because you know you truly want to, you know, help, you know, and a lot of people say that, you know, but they really don't put the work and the steps in action, you know, to really make that possible. So I believe you, you know, you'll get there. You know, and it sounds like, you know, you're kind of like a woman on a mission, you know, and yes. And I like the way you said it, like the IT space is more like of a male space, you know, very similar to what we're talking about here, you know, yeah. Women who stutter are in the minority, you know, and it's important that we give voice to what women who stutter, you know, are doing, and, you know, some of the amazing stories that we have. Now, you said that you speak three languages.
Yes.
Do you stutter equally in all three?
Unfortunately, yes, I do. And I wish I didn't, but I do. So that was kind of an eye opener when I was learning Arabic. I was hoping that I wouldn't stutter in Arabic, but I stutter in English and Spanish and in Arabic. So it really doesn't matter. But I think it's kind of cool and neat, because I don't think I've ever really encountered a person who stutters that speaks multiple languages. I'm sure they are out there, but I just want to show the world that even with a stutter, or anything that I guess society thinks is not up to their own, like, oh, they shouldn't do this because of that. Really, who cares?
Exactly. I mean, you're right. There's so many myths out there about stuttering, right? And so many stereotypical beliefs that, you know, we who stutter can't do this or shouldn't do that. Yeah. When in reality, it's just a different way of talking, you know, and there's
exactly
thousands of different ways of talking, you know. But, you know, so like, you know, people who stutter, we need to keep telling our stories and keep talking so that we do, you know, we do our, I hate to say it like that, do our part, because sometimes I don't yeah. feel like it's my responsibility, but we need to let people know, like, hey, I can do the same thing as you can, and sometimes better, you know.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I 100%, or actually 110% agree. And I say that because anybody that has any type of disability or something that is uncommon in society, I think from a young age, we learn how to hustle, how to survive, and we learn to just adapt. Mm-hmm. And although we are human people that do adapt, maybe we as people with disabilities and even a stutter, we just know how to evolve. Like, and it's amazing how I've seen in other Zoom spaces, other communities that I belong in, how everybody has come such a long way from who they were, and they just want to be just like, they want to be part of society. And I just don't understand what is wrong with that. Like, I don't know what is wrong with that, but I just know that I will never stop advocating. So yeah, but you said it right. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. I think part of the, I believe a major part of the problem is because stuttering is just relatively uncommon. I guess the statistics are only 1% of the population stutters. Mm-hmm. So, you know, many people don't encounter people who stutter on a frequent basis. Mm-hmm. And when they do, they really don't know how to react. You know, they giggle, or, you know, they roll their eyes or something like that because they're nervous or they're uncomfortable, you know, and it's unfortunate, especially when adults do it to other adults. Like, I just hey man, it's like the 2020s, like, what are you doing? Like, it's not cool. And that's where I feel, like I said earlier, you know, like, I don't always want to have to educate people, but if I do have a negative encounter, and, you know, somebody says something, you know, stupid, you know, like, what, did you forget your name or something like that, I do feel compelled to say, hey, I stutter and I'm okay with that, you know, and then they feel profusely embarrassed and they want to apologize, and that's not what my intent was. My intent was to just say, hey, I stutter, it's okay, you know, like, what you just did is not okay, you know. And I think that's the only way that we're gonna, like, kind of not change the world, but, like, educate and change one person at a time, maybe, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And I think most of us, if not all of us who stutter, we've had to educate a lot of individuals who just don't understand. And it isn't their fault, and it isn't my fault or just anybody's fault, but it's just how the world is. They're used to seeing everybody speak like the same way, even if they have an accent, but they're just not used to hearing a person stutter, stop, make weird facial movements, pause. So I've had many encounters at jobs, I think at jobs more so than anywhere else, where I've been, I don't know if I would use the word ridiculed, but almost like as though I'm unsure of myself. And even when I talk about that, it hurts in a way because I'm not over that yet. But I am definitely learning how to take my power back. And as I said earlier, I want to just begin saying my full name as opposed to my nickname, because I just want to get my power back. And that taking back your power takes a long time, or it can be a short time, or it can be a longer time, depending on how the person sees themselves, thinks about themselves. And I know that I've been doing a lot of healing in that area where I'm just like, I don't want to feel bad anymore. I want to say, I am Elizabeth. And what if I stutter on my name? That's my name. That is my name. It's not Liz. It isn't Beth. It isn't Liza. It's Elizabeth. That is my name.
So. Have you called yourself by those nicknames in the past? Because Elizabeth was hard to say.
Absolutely. Every time. Every single time. And it is like inside of me, I knew that I was dying to say my actual name, but I didn't want to seem weak or seem like, I don't know. I just had these like silly ideas that, oh, if like I say my full name, others will think I don't know my name, or that I'm like having some type of like medical emergency or something.
Right, right.
They've told me everything. Ma'am, are you okay? You need water? No, I don't need water. No, I don't need the medics. No, I'm okay.
Crazy, right?
So I am learning to say my name, and I think I am at that stage where it is okay. And if people don't like it, well, they can go hop on like an island and they can stay there.
Oh my goodness, you've got power and humor. And those combined, in my opinion anyway, 99.9% of the time are going to shut a naysayer down, because yeah, you're exercising your power and yeah, at the same time, you know, not taking yourself so seriously, you know, and that, you know, that's just really inspiring, because a lot of women and younger women who stutter, you know, need to hear this, because like myself, for so many years, I hid every aspect of myself because I was just so ashamed that, you know, I couldn't talk like everybody else. And I was ashamed when I did, when people laughed at me. I felt helpless and, yeah, you know, with no control. So I shrunk. I shrunk. I let other people take my power. So for you to be telling us the exact opposite, I think that's going to help people, because we're not meant to be shrinking wallflowers, right? That, I mean, you know that.
Right. And honestly, I commend you so much, Pam, for being who you are and for you just advocating for a lot of people who stutter, especially women. I think what you are doing here is beyond the stars. And I am actually just honored to even just be with you, which I'm just happy to be here. But I wanted to share a little story because I was trying to get myself mentally prepared for the podcast. And I wanted to say, because what we just literally just spoke about taking back our power, shame, feeling helpless, there just wasn't anybody there to kind of hold us and say, hey, it is okay. I've been seeing a therapist for about 6 months now. And the reason why I chose to see a therapist was because I wanted to analyze why I kept on self-sabotaging myself in a way, like saying, oh, I'm just not good enough, or I'm not this enough or that, or I don't look this way, and honestly, I think it was yesterday I saw her, my therapist, and for the very first time, I allowed her to read a couple passages from one of my journals. And I think we both knew that I was in that space, in that mindset where I am ready. And having her read it out loud in somebody else's voice, as opposed to my own voice, it felt really good because I was finally allowing somebody else to read out my words. And for this one podcast, I opened up the chest that's in my room. And in there, I have a lot of journals. And I was reading through a couple of them, and it's like from when I was age 10, 11, and I found one from May of 2001, and I think I was in middle school, and I was 13 years old. And basically in this, entry, my journal entry, how they call it in school. There was a day in school, I think I was in first or third period, and everybody was taking their turn to read from a book, and a lot of the students knew, even the teacher knew that I had speech impediment. But there was this one student, this one boy, he was just annoying, right? And he said, excuse me, Mrs. Teacher, which I won't say her name. He's like, I see that Elizabeth hasn't had a turn to read. Why don't we have her read? And I was like, no, I don't want to read. I knew why this boy wanted me to read, because he just wanted to make fun of me, of how I read, of how I spoke. And I remember from just reading this that I looked at the teacher and the teacher just kind of like, you have to read. And I was hoping that she would have advocated for me, but she did not. She kind of just allowed it to happen. And I recall from my own words is that I was reading and I wanted to just die. I said, I want to die because I know everybody after we're done are like, everybody's going to laugh at me. And that's exactly what happened. After this one period was over with, while everybody was walking in the hallways, I just was being pushed around. I was called slow. And a lot of that, I guess, a lot of who I became from such a young age, where I saw myself in such a negative light, I think emanates from and I don't ever really remember anybody ever saying, hey, it's okay, I understand. Instead, the teachers just kind of just allowed it to happen. So that's why I'm going to therapy, not just because of that, but other things also, like other factors. But I want to just release all that, just release those horrible memories, those horrible words. And I want to just say, I am about to be 36 in just like a couple of days. And those mean kids, I don't know where they are. I don't know what they're doing, but I do know one thing about myself, that I am successful. I am amazing. And my name is Elizabeth and I stutter. And what?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, girl. It gave me, that really did make my, like, yeah. Yeah, that made my heart pound as I was listening to you, because I could feel the anger and the sadness and the hurt that you probably held on to for a long time, and now you're letting it go, you know. And you know, wherever they are, I hope they'll listen to this one day, you know, and realize. You know, like, words and actions and exclusion, like, can do so much to us, to our self-esteem, and especially women, you know, because we're all already gendered into, you know, a certain role. So, God, I admire you so much for going through the process of reclaiming yourself, and sharing that you're in therapy. That is like such a strength, you know, because so many people don't realize that, how strong a person is to realize that therapy is a good thing. You must feel really good.
It does. It really does. At first, I went into therapy just like, okay, I'm just here to talk. I'm just here to talk. But over time, week after week, as I was hearing a lot of the pain, anger, sadness, melancholic words, I don't know if whenever you're like say you're watching a movie, right? And you see like these cool like effects, whereas like you're talking, like the written words are being echoed out. That's how I felt, like my words are just being echoed out, and they're just actually immersing, and they're also emerging as I speak it out, and as I'm just releasing this. And it feels daggone good to just let it go. And I'm hoping that, I don't know how long I have to stay in therapy, but it is helping me. But I think what also helps is you have to find the right therapist. I don't have a therapist that is a person that that handles people with a stutter, but she is extremely patient, and she just allows me to just talk, and she allows me the opportunity to be me. And I told her that I, like, all I need is somebody to just sit down and just listen, because nobody ever listens, and I'm tired of staying quiet. I don't want to stay quiet anymore, but nobody listens, and it's because I don't voice my own voice enough, and I want to be vociferous. I want to be vociferous. I highly encourage anybody that wants to understand their thoughts, their inner monologue, their past. I think it's healthy to talk about it. I also think it takes a lot of time to get to that point. Because it took me a while, but I said, I just do not want to live with this anymore. I just want to be who I am, and I want to be able to help people and have that type of conviction in who I am, in the things that I actually believe, and not feel like, oh, I don't know if I should have said that. No, 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 no. You said it and you mean it, sister, okay? That's how I want to be, but I'm not quite there yet. I am almost there, but not there yet.
You know, just real quick, it reminds me, I too saw a therapist, a wonderful therapist, whom Ooh, awesome. I just worked so well with. This was a number of years ago, and he knew a little about stuttering, but that's not why I was there. I was there for other things, but he, you know, but he knew some about stuttering because he worked at a college that had a stuttering program for SLPs that were learning. So anyway, one time we were in his office discussing whatever. And, you know, he had said, you know, I don't hear your stuttering. You make room for the stuttering. I hear the words that you're saying, you know, but because you make room for it. And that struck me as so profound, because I had reached that point where I had made room for stuttering, like coexisting with it and being at peace with it. And that it just stuck with me. And I actually, when I started blogging about stuttering, I named my blog Make Room for the Stuttering.
Wow.
Because I think that's what we need to do in our life, is to make room for it. And that's it. Just make room for it. Not have the feelings of all that stuff. You know, just we make room for it. I stutter. Yep. And I'm making room for it in my life. I'm not pushing it away. I'm not ashamed of it, you know. And for him, a therapist that wasn't focusing on speech therapy, it was like the most profound thing that I learned and took away from that. And that was, I stopped seeing him in 2014. So, you know, so I hear you. I hear you. And I see you, and I'm just like, wow, like, I'm so glad we have this conversation. It's just like, you know, really wonderful to hear somebody that has such conviction and wants to be, let me make sure I say it right, vociferous. Did I say it right?
Loud. I want to be loud and proud. I want to be loud and proud.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Elizabeth, I have one more question before we wind down. Okay. You mentioned you had children.
I do. Yes.
What do they think that their mom stutters? Does it ever come up?
No, they think it's normal. And my oldest, they think it's actually normal. And anytime I have a pause or I know that I will stumble or get stuck on a word, my oldest, she just sits there and she just waits. And she's like, oh, okay, mom. And then she just continues with the conversation. So her and I have normal conversations, but she always waits for me to say the word or to say the sentence. And that just speaks volume, because she is an amazing kid and she's an amazing listener, just like her dad. Because her dad's also like that. He is not a man of many words, but he's a great listener. And my youngest daughter, she actually has a stutter. It isn't as bad as mine was when I was her age, but I think I've said this in other meetings that I never ever said, hey, Sarah, you have a stutter or you have a speech impediment. I never once even made it aware that anything was ever wrong with her. Because I knew how it made me feel as a kid, and it kind of like opened up my eyes, like sort of like Adam and Eve. Like, oh my God, I'm different. Like, okay. So I didn't want her to have that like Adam and Eve type of effect. Like, oh, I'm so sorry. Let me put something on right now. Let me be covert. Covered. Fence, right?
Oh, my God. You're so funny. You have such a great sense of humor.
So I think when Sarah got to school, that's kind of when they were like, hey, I think she needs an IEP. But even in school, after she started school, having a stutter never even fazed her. And even when I had the IEP meetings, some of the teachers were like, we have never met anybody like Sarah. She is so self-confident. She helps the other kids, she likes to take control of the meetings. And she stutters, but she doesn't care. And I also was really scared when I had both my kids, I was scared that if they were going to turn out like me or have my disability, that I would ensure that they would not feel ostracized. And that's something that I just knew from like the get-go. But also I will say this, because I don't want everybody to think, oh, she's an awesome mom. I am an awesome mom, but I had them when I was 23 and 25. So at that age, I was really immature and I didn't really know how to help my kids that much, because I myself was still trying to find out who I was. So those were some really dark days. But as I got older, as I began to read more books and I began to meet other moms, I understood that, okay, so it's my job to not just to protect them, but I have to allow them to make mistakes. And I'm like the type of person that likes to have everything in control. Like, no, it isn't this way, it is that way, or on the highway. And I think I get that only because of like my stutter. But over the years, I have allowed my kids to just use their voices. And some people may think they're talking back to me. I don't think they're talking back. I think they're asking really good questions, and they should ask me stuff like, mom, how come it's this way, how come it's that way? Okay, yeah, that's fine, here, how about we have a seat, we talk about this. Because me as a kid, nobody ever taught me how to speak up, and I wanted to unlearn that, and I wanted to see how that would go. And there are mixed emotions from some people, like, oh, they're talking back to you. I'm like, no, they're not. They are just being inquisitive. And I want them to ask lots and lots of questions. But obviously, they have to show respect, but I want them to not ever feel like their voice doesn't matter, because I felt for many years that my voice did not matter. So that's kind of me in like a nutshell as a evolving mom. So I wasn't always like that, but I had to unlearn a lot of things from my own childhood. So yeah.
And look where you're at now. Oh my gosh, Elizabeth, thank you so much for being here, sharing your story. So inspiring. Thank you again.
You're welcome. And thank you, Pam, because this would have not been able or possible without you. So You are the star here.
Thank you. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.